Joining us now, Christopher Rice. He is a former UTC executive. He has an op-ed in, I forget if it's today's or yesterday's Current, but interesting points about leaving the state or staying, that debate that so many people are having. Chris Rice, thank you for being here on WTIC.
My pleasure.
So you built a really interesting, there have been several of these types of op-eds and lots of letters to the editor, and we get lots of callers talking about how they can't stay in the state. What's unique about your op-ed, I think, is one, how obviously sincere it is that you're tormented a bit, like so many people are, over what's happened to the state as somebody who's got multiple generations in your family involved with the state, and suddenly you're looking at your children as people who are not going to settle here. And that transition is a pretty stark one, the way you lay it out. I love how you built the generational movement. And I just wanted to be able to talk to you for a few minutes and hear you, you know, let you share that with your with the audience. What is it that prompted you to write the op-ed?
There was no one thing. It's, you know, it's been one of those, I read the articles, I listen to both sides. It's just the constant building, and then I'd say looking at the last year is probably the final push of what's going on. There's nothing going on in the state government that has a positive. Everything is a battle. Everything is taken care of the political elite and their payoffs to their different
constituencies.
You know, it finally got to me, and I had some time. On Sunday, my wife was working, was away, so I just sat down during the day and wrote it.
So
into the Hartford Current, and Leslie Corey, who was the editor at the Current, she was working on a Sunday. She turned it around, gave some comments, thoughts, things that should be tweaked, changed, added to, and she was phenomenal in how fast she was turning things around. She was working every day that I sent something back. She was there, so I was very impressed with her work ethic.
Well, you solved a problem for her, and that is, you know, everybody's always looking for compelling content, and your description of your disappointment with the state and how that might impact your future decision-making, I think is a powerful thing. So explain
yes.
What will make you not stay here, you think?
Well, the biggest thing would be if my kids aren't going to be here, my brothers aren't here, and surely I didn't put it in the article, but my wife's family will be, at least one of them's got a house for sale. They're moving to Boston. Another one is already, you know, she'll retire in a few years and she'll be looking. So none of my family and none of my wife's family will be here, so it's, there's no reason to be here other than being with friends and, you know, doctors, and I love the area. But I think being with family is a driver for me.
But so if family's the driver, how does the state of the economy as created by the government and the policies of big government and that sort of payoff to special interest groups that you described, making it really expensive to live here? It sounds like you're not directly impacted in terms of your retirement plans now that you've been retired for a few years. It sounds like you're settled and could stay here, but you just don't feel compelled to. So why does it matter from your perspective if the state's a mess in terms of government when the rest of the state is so compelling?
Well, the reason it bothers me is that, you know, my family, both sides of my family, have been here for over 100 years. I've got a lot of interest in the things that go on in the state. It does affect me economically with taxes and fees and everything continually go up. And it does affect me if there's ever a chance for any of my kids coming back. They got to have something to come back to. At this point in time, none of them have any interest in coming back. But if they could turn the state around, maybe they would in 5 to 10 years. I don't think so, but there's a chance.
So the door is closed as far as you can see for your family having a future here, and that's a big thing for you.
Absolutely, for the next 5 to 10 years, unless there's a radical change in the way the government's run, in all the way the policies of the government does, the way that they deal with the public, the way things are less transparent than they used to be, the way they take care of themselves. If that doesn't change, none of the kids will come back, and none of my brothers, I know, they're gone forever.
Right.
You know, it's a chance one of my sister-in-laws might stay. But other than that, it's pretty sparse chances.
What you're describing is a short-term disappointment over the Malloy years and then not seeing a correction taking place with Governor Lamont. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, that's the final tweak. This goes back to Weicker. I mean, I think the real deterioration of the state started, you know, Weicker or pre-Weicker, and it's just slowly eroded, and the final straw was Malloy, and I didn't vote for Lamont. I didn't vote for either of the two candidates. I voted for someone else. But Mr. Lamont seems to be a wonderful human being. He is clueless on how to get this state running. He got run roughshod by the legislature, and I don't see that stopping.
So the dynamic that you're describing that would make it, I'm thinking about your youngest child. Your daughter is in college right now, and it's really a powerful thing, the tug that pulls people of her age to New York or Boston or wherever, that it doesn't even seem that Connecticut has a shot. And as you said, that's a long-term thing, and it seems like a hard thing to turn around.
I think it is. I know they've tried different things, and they've tried to jumpstart businesses by the state giving them money, but that has been a woeful failure. I mean, the government does not have that skill set to pick winners and losers. But you know, two of my kids, they've all graduated, or will have graduated in the last 4 years. Two are in Boston, one will be in D.C. I've got other nephews and nieces in New York, D.C., Boston. One just moved back from Chicago, but he moved to D.C. So none of them are even coming up with this as a possibility of where they're going to be.
So last question, if you had a magic wand and were given the power in that wand to make the big fix in the state, what is that thing in your mind that needs to be changed?
Well, I'm a big believer in term limits, both at the federal and the state level, but the first thing they have to do is they absolutely have to have a 5- and 10-year plan that the public is aware of, that they're being held to that plan, and that businesses and individuals know what the plan is and they can see if there's progress or not. If you don't have a plan, you don't know where you're going.
And what kind of plan are you referring to? What something to make the state compelling to young people, or something to break the union hold in terms of pensions, or what plan are you looking for?
It's a variety. I mean, the plan is not a single item. It's, you know, what are we doing to attract businesses over the next 5 to 10 years? What are we doing to train people, both in college as well as in other areas? They don't have to all go to college. There's a lot of good jobs where people can get skills at the technical area that don't have to be in college. Have a real program on that. Have a transition for those people to get into a job. Have a way that the people, when they graduate, particularly with STEM-type degrees, that they actually can get into a job that they're, you know, when they're a sophomore or junior in college, they're already working for a company in Connecticut. Attract those companies. They definitely have to do something with the state union contracts because, you know, they're one of the few areas that still has a full-time pension, and their pension is so far better than anything in the private sector because they also get cost of living with their raises. They get cost of living raises, and they get raises. It's a double whammy coming in. It compounds. They get overtime. At the last 2 or 3 years, it seems to be the practice where they just, you know, glutton the hours so that their pension goes whacked up. You know, there should be no one that comes from, that's been working for one of the parties, Republican, Democrat, there's no difference, that works for the parties, and then at the end of their career, they get put into a job for 3 years, whether it's a judgeship, whether it's in the administration, so they can pad their pension. Should not happen. It's unethical.
Christopher Rice, thank you, sir, for writing the column that appeared in The Current and for taking the time to talk to us about it. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, have a good day.
You too. So that's Chris Rice. He's a former executive with United Technologies. His op-ed is called "We Want to Stay in Connecticut. Here's Why We Probably Won't." What are your thoughts on that? You hear anything new? Hear anything interesting? Does it trigger any thoughts in your mind?